Oh, thank you, hon. Lord, we just bless you and we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight in this lovely bunch of brothers and sisters scattered all over the world. And we just praise you, Father, for your, because we might be physically all over the world, but spiritually we're one family, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us an open heaven. And we know that when we pray, our prayers are answered. We glorify you and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for helping us, every one of us tonight, be led by your Spirit. And Father, we thank you for your wisdom and your discernment in each and every one of us tonight. And we praise you, Father, that we have the authority over all the power of the enemy, that when we pray, we know that they are under our feet. We have complete dominion over every name that's named. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, except for one, and he's the one that's in us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Hey, Gano. Yeah. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? One at a time, one at a time. Oh, boy. Yeah. Vanita, go ahead.
All right. Hi, everyone. Hey. I wanted to ask for prayer for Frank's, for our grandmother, Marge. We've prayed for her before. She is in the hospital right now, and Adult Protective Services has gotten involved, and they've gotten a sign off from a doctor so that they're going to grant my Frank custody of her, and then we can move her into a nursing home and things like that. So just I just want to pray for wisdom on where to move her and on how to handle her situation so she's at peace and she can just enjoy the rest of her life. She's 97, she'll be 98 in May. And it's just right now it's kind of stressful on where to, that's, well, I mean, I was just praying last night and just continuing to remind myself to rest and to be in the rest that the Lord has this, and I will just move along as he guides me. And I'm just really leaning on him to guide me in the right direction on where to place her and how to handle it all. So I'm just resting in that, and I just praise the Lord for that and ask for wisdom and guidance.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Benita, and we thank you, Father, that you are going to tell her, show her, and guide her into the what you want her to do regarding Frank's mama. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, wherever it is, we thank you for your angels around about her to protect her from any kind of an attack from the enemy. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? And I want to pray. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, you gave us dominion. You gave us authority. You said we are sitting with you at the right hand of the Father with all of these enemies under our feet. In the name of Jesus, I bring down, I bind up, and I cast out all factious spirits that are coming out to war against UBM Fellowship and the White Hats. And I thank you, Father, for your cleansing power throughout, confusing power throughout the faction in both the deep state and the faction for the church, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing them down. Lord, we ask and we pray right now for the anointing of the man child. Bring him forth, Lord. We ask that. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We need his wisdom. We need his discernment in the name, and we need his power in the name of Jesus. I know, Lord, that we have all the power that we need resonant inside of us, those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has more power than anything else in this universe. And Father, we just praise you that it's available for us. Lord, teach us to utilize it in the most efficient and best way, Lord, that would bring the enemy down. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. All right, anyone else want to pray? I declare and decree healing on everybody in here. In the name of Jesus, I pray it by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus. Everyone here, be whole, be free, be delivered in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for everybody that wants it, receives it. And we thank you, Father, it is done. And we praise you because you said it's done by the stripes of Jesus. He took care of that 2,000 years ago. And we praise you for it, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for everybody here that receives it in Jesus'
name. Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, I don't want this to be the Michael show tonight. I'm going to want y'all to get up here and do some praying, too.
I'd like to lift up Josh and Caitlin.
Okay.
A little bit. Well, Father, I thank you for what you have done for them in the past few weeks. And I thank you for the new beginning that you are giving them. And I just pray that they will seek you each day and put you first, no matter if it's a blessing that comes or if it's a trial that comes, but that they will seek you first. And I just thank you and praise you for what you're working in them and all the positive things that you found a job for each one. And oh, there's just a number of things. And I just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let your blessings flow upon them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Yes. Place it in them to get in the word day and night.
Amen. Yes. Praise
thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I just believe it's a new beginning for both of them.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? How many of you know that when we pray, God answers them? Every time he pray, he answers every one of them. Glory to God.
Amen, brother. I guarantee that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Understand there. Let's pray for the trucker convoy up there in Canada, U.S., and all over the world, because it looks like it's starting something all over. Father, we just thank you, and we ask for your protection upon all of these peaceful people. Lord, we thank you that the truckers are keeping peace amongst the convoys, that they're not going to fight against the authorities, but they will demand their rights. And we thank you, Father, for the smart lawyers that are coming in to help them out. And we praise you, Father, for putting an end to all of this nonsense that the government is trying to do to each and every country out there with these deep state mayors and governors and prime ministers, presidents. And Father, we thank you for bringing them down and stopping this whole nonsense. In Jesus' name, Lord, we've had the CDC and the WHO come out and said that everything they've done was not working. They need to quit it. And Father, we thank you that it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God, I believe it. How many of you know we don't have to worry about a vaccine because we got God's vaccine? And when you got God's vaccine, you got the best vaccine out there available.
Harm free.
Amen. Go ahead, Ray or Jim.
Yeah.
Michael, there have been a few times out of the clear blue. Judy would come to my mind. I don't know her last name. It was, I guess, Judy and Marilyn. They used to be on frequently way back when. And I was wondering what happened to them.
Well, there's Jenny right there. Marilyn's over here. I'm not real sure. How long ago are you talking there?
I guess when we first started, and okay. I'm losing track of time there. And she would, on occasion, she would sing sometimes as the Lord led her to sing. Like a praise song, whatever.
Judy and Sue.
Oh, Judy and Sue.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I said to Ray that I thought it was Judy and Sue, but he had a list and he goes, I have written here Judy and Marilyn. So it threw me off.
Yeah.
No. They were on they were on Saturday night, matter of fact. Yeah. It's not Judy that sings, it's Sue that sings. Yeah, Sue sings, and also Debbie. Is she in here now? Debbie in here? No, she ain't in here right there. Yeah, Debbie Finsky and Sue Gilbert.
Okay. They're from the local. What goes on Saturday night?
You'll have to ask David Nelson.
We just have a fellowship, and if you want to come on.
Just send her the information. That's all we need to do on this one, right?
Do what?
I said, maybe you could just send her the information. I wouldn't give it out here right now.
Right. Do you want to send it, or do you want me to put it in chat, or what do I do?
You can do that.
Saturday. Yeah. Probably wouldn't work for us. So if we find out differently, we'll let you know.
That's fine.
I'll send it to you anyway, so you'll have it on record in case you do get loose some night. Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you.
When you said Judy and Marilyn, that threw me off. I didn't register. I was completely in left field. I didn't know what was going on. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Greg, go ahead.
I just wanted to circle back and add to the prayer about the whole convoy trucker groups thing. If I may.
Yes, sir.
Broken. Lord, I do want to pray that your spirit would pervade over all of these groups, that they would remain unified, and that the spirit of the living God, that Yahweh Shalom, would be amongst them, that peace would reign between them. Lord, and I believe that I have your clearance to pray this, that the enemy, the people who are in positions of authority, with power, of influence, who have worked against the peoples of their countries, would turn on each other. That integrous decisions would come out of the court cases that are pending at the moment in various places around the globe. The trap that they've laid, Lord, and Lord, I've got to ask that they get the chance of repentance, though I believe that window is closing rapidly. But Lord, as a whole, that they would turn on each other, as happened to the forces against Gideon and those against Jehoshaphat. That'll do. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. I saw where the head of security for Trudeau resigned because they were, no, he was on TV saying that he did. He resigned because they were breaking the law, he said. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
I just have a praise report. I wanted to say that my little sister definitely is being guided by the Holy Spirit. She has been led to repentance and forgiveness all on her own. Well, obviously not on her own because the Holy Spirit, but she would wake up at night and then would just, I guess God brings to her some of the things that I've told her, we've been praying for her. I've planted a few things, but really just not pushing in any way. And so she just said that, you know, she remembered, like came up in her mind in the middle of the night, the people that had really harmed her. And she said, I release them in forgiveness. And I was like, oh, that is so the Holy Spirit. And she did stop looking for just any type of meditation. She found this Christian classical music that helps her to sleep at night through the anxiety that was trying to come after her. And she said that she opens her eyes occasionally and on the screen there's scripture. And the scripture that he gave her is exactly the same one he gave me before I came to you guys. So talk about two sisters giggling that God has given us the same scripture. So it's been amazing to watch and to hear. And she's doing much better. She's still off from work. She's still pushing through some stuff, but God is really showing up. So that's my praise report. And I do want to bring in, yes, I see the clapping. Thank you, Marilyn. Me too. I'm very happy. And the second thing is for the truckers, I want to give you guys a little update because as you know, the news is ridiculous, really ridiculous. There's lies, 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 and more lies. I go through Rumble and there's some people on site that gave some update news today. And there is an injunction where they can't toot their horns right now, just to, you know, for the peace. And that's okay. And they have been so peaceful. There's been no violence towards any of the authority. There were some officers that were taking their gasoline away from them, okay, but a lot of them are not taking it from them. So the news is not saying the same thing. There's no military presence, which is what we're hearing on the mainstream. And there is also excess food and excess gas that they have. This last little spy that went throughout the whole camp to give that information. So I thought I'd bring that to you. But yes, there's this incredible tension that's being presented in the news, which means the government's really trying to come in and scare them out. But where they can't arrest them all, and where are they going to do with the trucks? the tow truck company has said no to removing the trucks. So, and there's a lot more presence of thanking God. And so that's beginning to present itself. So yes, let's keep praying that, you know, for God's glory and he is the only truth to bringing us to freedom, right? But the kind of unity and love that we're still seeing is it's God in this movement for sure. And God is awesome. Anyway, hallelujah. So that's my update. Definitely don't listen to the mainstream news. It's ridiculous. It's all I hear when I look just to check and I go, I hear my spirit, lies, lies. And so I just turn it off right away. Walk away. Do not listen to the liar.
Are you saying to me that CNN would lie?
Liars.
Liar, liar, house on fire. All right, Patrick. Thank you, Carol.
Sorry, trying to find my mute button. I needed to, I guess, dump a little bit here if I could. By the way, I appreciate that update because I was here from the truckers up there, Carol, because we were hearing, the last I heard, they were confiscating gas and trying to take them out that way. So that's a good report, and we appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. The Lord has been taking me through some things, and like everybody else, and I. By the way, I'm temporarily relocated to the Pocono Mountains. We have a job up here that I'm doing, so I'm in a hotel right now. So I'm a little bit rattled and disheveled and whatever here, trying to get my routine down. But I kind of don't know where to start on this. I have been thinking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I know that I am not really clear as to which is which. And I have this doubt or this thought that keeps running through my mind every once in a while. And that is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have I been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And as many of you know, the Lord took me through the, I guess you would say, non-spirit-filled sector of Christianity in my growing, brought me into the kingdom and then sent me through that path. And I started seeking, after I was in there for a few years, I started seeking the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit on my own. And I went through quite a few experiences, and the Lord filled me with Himself, and for a quite an extended period of time, and I walked with Him in some very, what I would consider miraculous in those days, experiences in those days. However, it was coming through the context of the Baptist tradition. And so I've always had this doubt whether or not I have properly received the Holy Spirit, the baptism, etc. And so when I came to UVM, I pursued that again, and there was always kind of a doubt there, a question as to whether I received the Holy Spirit the way they did in the Scripture, and so I met with one of the people, I think it was Rex. Veron, I think that's his name, isn't it? Met with him, and and
Verone, V, and Victor.
Verone, yeah.
Yeah.
And so at that time, I received the Holy Spirit again. But there was not this, I'll have to say, there was not this feeling of the explosion from within and bursting out in tongues or whatever. There was a slow process where the Lord gave me a few words, and it kind of grew into, you know, a different language and whatever. However, I have to say that I don't see that example in the scripture. I mean, when at Pentecost they certainly received that baptism, and out from their innermost being gushed tongues and prophesying and various things like that. There didn't appear to be this growing into it type of process, which I have experienced. And so therefore, there's always that doubt within me. Did I really receive the Holy Spirit the way it was given in the book of Acts, in the scripture, in the Bible? So I've really come to the place where I just need to know one way or the other if I received properly. If I didn't, I would like to know what I have, you know, what I have to do to pursue God to receive that. Am I in faith? Is there something I'm missing or something like that? So, and I feel like until this, whatever it is resolved within me, I can't rest in the confidence. In other words, you can't give something out that you don't have. You can't lead somebody into something that you don't possess. So I guess I'm throwing this out as a prayer request to that God would lead me, clarify where I'm at in this thing, and to bring me into unity with His scripture and His word. So I think that's all I really need to say, but that is my prayer request. And it's been my prayer request for years now, I think. So, all right.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I'd say this about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of times it's not a feeling. Many people do not feel anything. They just do it by faith. They believe that they have received by faith. And when you receive by faith, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit resides in you. Therefore, you go out and do whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And of course, that's through the Word. And that's just a short answer, but you don't have to. A lot of people don't feel anything. But they know. And that knowing is what the Word says. He says, if you ask, you will receive. And that's where that belief system comes in. All right, Malcolm, is this something you want to answer as well?
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to address what Pat's saying.
Okay.
Before we pray, to pray without ceasing. But I think I've gone over my experience a little bit here, probably many times over the years. But it was quite a struggle for me to even find somebody to lay hands on me to pray for me. And there's a elderly pastor who who actually was in a vineyard healing room. It's one of the healing rooms. They invited me to come there, and they would pray there with a bunch of other folks. So they prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel anything. But after that, I started a couple words started coming out, and but I was absolutely desperate. I flew all over the countryside, trying to get people to lay hands on me for the full. I really didn't believe I had received the Holy Spirit, but I did. I was speaking a couple of words, so I don't know, maybe two or three, but it wasn't a full language. And so I went to a lot of expense for our family. We didn't have the money at the time, which created some problems. And I didn't care what I had to do. But it wasn't until, I don't know, eight months later that God gave me a full vocabulary. But even when that happened under that bridge in downtown Spokane, I think it was the train track, either the train track or Highway 90. But anyway, I didn't feel a whole lot, although I was totally ecstatic that I had received this whole language. But I didn't have like an overwhelming feeling. I did have a little feeling, but it wasn't like I hear about John G. Lake and all the other greats from the past describing how they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, Charles Finney, that was a very remarkable experience he went through. Very emotional. He was crying, you know, trying to play his big stand-up bass and singing one of the hymns that he liked to sing. And he couldn't do it because he would break down crying. So, I've been wanting to walk in the Spirit and be rebaptized again in that sense. But I've already, we think a lot of us here have already been baptized. But for me, it's a matter of walking in the Spirit, and that's a real concern for me because I want to be. Hearing God's direction, I wouldn't say as much as what you hear from some of the false revival people that, you know, today I'm going to have this kind of meal and that kind of micromanaging. A lot of false revival people seem to have a micromanaged Holy Spirit situation going on, but I'm really desperate for that. The feeling, I have to say, the feeling did come kind of on an ongoing basis when I was praying and interceding for people. Enormous feelings would come, but they would go too. So wasn't consistent. I don't know. But I would also ask for prayer that I be just filled with the Holy Spirit also. So, thank you.
Okay. Julie, go ahead.
Praise Jesus. Pat, I didn't, my experience is, I think, I don't know when I actually received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know it was something I prayed for. I don't know if I received it when I got baptized because, you know, in the church I got baptized in, it was just for me, it was, I did it as an act of obedience. All I know is that my life really changed after that. And God started giving me more of a hunger and thirst for the word, where I knew that I was, things were just so much different in my life about reading the Bible and spending time reading the word and doing Bible studies and that kind of thing, even before I came here. And it wasn't until after I came here that I manifested the gift of tongues. But even before that, I didn't have any supernatural experience of, you know, overwhelming joy or that kind of thing. Everybody, from what I've heard other people, everybody's circumstance in their experiences with that is so different from one another. But I know that the Lord opened up my understanding when I read the word. that was the Holy Spirit who was our teacher. And that I started getting more knowledge of what I was reading, understanding what I was reading. But it was probably maybe, I don't know, I'd say 4 years later after I got baptized before I came here and I manifested the gift of tongues. But nothing like supernatural, you know, overwhelming joy or bubbling up or anything like that. I just knew that God had changed me and he continued to change me and no turning back and boldness and started, you know, walking by faith, speaking the word of God all the time. And it wasn't like I spent time memorizing scripture. It was just coming to my mind as I needed to speak it to people at, you know. So it's like, it's not you. It's not you. We know it's him, you know. Anyhow, I believe you have it and you have had it. If you ask for it, God doesn't withhold that gift, you know. And I was just thinking about the scripture. I don't know if this is applied or if this is the when you receive the Spirit of Christ, but when Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you must be born from above. And how can a man be born when he is old and he can't go into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I said this unto you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I think it's the same way sometimes with the Holy Spirit when we get that. Well, I think that's just me. I think it's just different for everybody because God knows when he's going to give that to you. And I've also heard testimonies where people pray for the Holy Spirit and it was very evident that they were filled up. Praise the Lord. And I think a lot of it's just for witness for other people. Amen. That's all.
Who was that come in here under my deal there?
Michael, can I just answer? Yeah. Respond to that.
Sure.
One of my questions was, it was based in Romans 8, and this is something that David explained in various different messages, but I hadn't understood it. But it was the being born of the Spirit of Jesus, and then later receiving this, the Holy Spirit, two spirits. And obviously I'm not speaking, you know, I'm not speaking as someone who hasn't been born again. You know, I've clearly gone through that process. But my question, I guess, or the questions I have I been, say, walking in the fullness of Jesus in various different times of my life? But yet, you know, in Romans 8, it said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, which is where David, you know, shows the separate Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus. And then if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Well, I've certainly experienced that. That Jesus in me, that I have experienced that body of death. But it says, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, that's the part where I feel a little shaky on, if I can put it in those terms. Because I know that I've received Jesus. I know that I've received his spirit because I've experienced death and the righteousness of walking in his life. But that additional spirit of God coming in and bringing forth life in this mortal body, I see it as those words Jesus said when he raised up, when he's teaching in the temple, and he said, all that come to me, I wish I could remember the exact words, but he was saying that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Thus he spake of the spirit which they would receive who believed on him. And so I just those words, rivers of living water, to me speaks of, it has forms a picture of something a little bit more significant than simply growing into something or say maturing into something. It has a whole different, in my mind, it has a whole different sound of something very powerful coming, gushing out of you, living waters. It says rivers, it doesn't say springs. This may be a whole mental exercise I'm going through. I don't know. I'm just saying that the picture in my mind speaks of something more powerful, stronger than what I can say that I have or am experiencing. Now, I guess that's
Let me ask you a question, Pat. Do you speak in a heavenly language? Do you have a heavenly language?
Yes.
Okay. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. The thing about being led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the more that you speak in tongues in your prayer time, the more you'll be in the Spirit. That's the way to be led by the Spirit. And I'll tell you something. Everybody here has been led by the Spirit more than you know. Because it's that, women sometimes call it intuition. Well, a believer, that's the Holy Spirit leading you that way. More times than not, that's the Holy Spirit leading you. But if you speak in the, if you pray in the Spirit a lot and read the Word of God, you're being led by the Spirit. If you're doing what the Word says, you're being led by the Spirit. I think you're looking for a feeling, and a lot of people don't look. They don't have feelings. But they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're filled with the Holy Spirit because the Word of God says so. And if the Word of God says so, then bless God, you're filled. And I'll tell you something else. As far as the power goes, as far as the anointing goes, what bigger anointing can you have than what Jesus had when he was on earth? You have Jesus in you. What more can we have? I'm just asking silly questions here. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you and the Holy Spirit in you, there is no other power or anointing that is available. That is the most powerful. And all we have to do as children and men and women of God is to access it. And the way you access it is by learning what Jesus did when he walked on earth and following him following in his footsteps. Well, I rarely feel a lot of things too, but there's sometimes that I do feel, but that doesn't make me any special over anybody else, because you got the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit as I do. Everybody here's got the same power. Ain't not one of us any less or more than the other one. If I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, so can you. If I can lay hands on the sick and command deliverance, so can you. The newest Christian has the same power as the most mature one here. It's not the power that's in question. It's what do you believe? Jesus said, I have been given dominion over all of those things, he said. I can't quote it right now, but, and then he said, and over every name that's named. That's everything. That's the power of God within each and every one of us. Now, some of us use it more than others. That's because we're still, trying to get to that place through the Word of God and through praying and doing those things that God wants us to do. We're still maturing. We're maturing at different levels, you know. But we're every one of it. There's no one here that doesn't have the same power as the most mature one, as David is, or Jesus Christ. And I'm not likening David to Jesus, but he'll tell you right quick, hey, I'm looking in the mirror and I see Jesus, and I do too. And if you see Jesus, guess what? You can do what Jesus says. He didn't go out there and ask a whole litany of questions to somebody to be healed, did he? He said, what do you want? What I want to see. All right, go see. Be healed. That's what he did, and that's what we should be doing. What's the matter with you? Oh, I got a bunch of demons. All right, where y'all want to go? Well, I like them halls over there. We'll go over there. All right, bless God, go. You're gone. That's the type of power he's looking for from his people, to set the captives free, he said. Praise God. All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Man, that's so encouraging, Michael. Thank you so much. I mean, that's just getting me pumped up here. So,
that's what I want to do.
One thing I'm looking at is I used to have a lot of dreams. Some of them are on the website, but those have dropped off some. Although I just recently had a dream that Trump hired me and he told me the dollar figure per month, and I didn't quite get it. I thought I heard something, but I wasn't sure. Anyway,
make your own
that,
up.
It was a very, what was that again?
I said, make your own up.
Yeah, no, I think I heard a figure, but I wasn't absolutely sure. And then after that, there was a very extravagant wedding and piles of dollar bills to indicate where you're supposed to stand. For the people that were involved in the wedding. Anyway, just I kind of wrote it off because it just didn't seem like it was probably from the Lord. But anyway, I just wanted to explain my I'm kind of gauging some things by when I pray for people what happens. I prayed for a girl back in Michigan. She was a teenager, I asked her. I could tell she had demons, and I really needed to deal with those, but it was just me and her, and I just felt like it was getting a little bit, it just didn't look good. It was kind of out in the public place, so she was fine, but I didn't have any support people with me, so I just prayed for her to receive the Holy Spirit, and she mentioned that she had a lot of peace, but that's all that happens that I know of. I didn't see her again, but and then somebody drove all the way up to my place from I don't know, about 2.5 hours, and they just wanted to visit, and I didn't understand that, but they I mean, when you drive that far, you usually have a purpose. So he came, and in our discussion, it turns out he wanted me to pray for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I think he's already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but doesn't speak in tongues. So, you know, I guess that may be a question, but he's already been doing a lot of prayer walking and all kinds of stuff. That's pretty significant things he's been doing in the kingdom. But I prayed for him, you know, and everything, and there nothing happened. No language came then or later. And then a little bit later, we prayed for him at one of Torben's meetings. We had a bunch of us. I prayed for a couple ladies, and they both received the Holy Spirit, but he didn't. But at least the tongues part. But the two ladies didn't seem to indicate they had, you know, ecstatic experience or anything. But I'm just thinking about who I've prayed for, like for healing and different things. And I guess I shouldn't gauge my experience by that, but I don't want to be, I want to be have a significant leading where the Lord is telling me, you know, why somebody's not receiving the Holy Spirit or that kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. I'm in a, like some of you, some of the rest of you are in a very isolated situation. So, and I really need to be getting out on the street and praying for people more than I am, just to get the experience and possibly get a fellowship together here.
There you go. Anyway. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. Go ye into all the world.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how you get a fellowship going. Is you're mm-hmm. you're discipling people. You're, you know.
Yeah.
But it has to start with your being out there meeting people and, you know, interfacing with people, which I don't do very much. So anyway.
You go to Walmart, don't you?
Walmart, yeah. Walmart's a perfect place except for all the cameras, but no, it's still.
That's the best part about it.
I know.
They'll put you on the news if you ain't careful.
that'd be wonderful. I have prayed for a few people occasionally at Walmart or you know, different stores. Anyway.
Amen.
Anyway, no, Pat. I think like what Michael was saying. You know, obviously there are different experiences that we have as we're spending time with the Lord. You know, recently some of us have been fasting and. You know, and so the Lord doesn't he's not ignoring us, but I want to also say, there is I forget his name, maybe Graham Cook or something. He, went through a time he was in a, you know, public going around having meetings and whatnot, but the Lord told him there's going to be a 6-month period that you won't feel anything. You will go feel like I'm not there. So he forewarned him, and it was pretty difficult for him because there was absolutely no feelings at all. When he prayed, he just didn't feel anything. But what he said was remarkable during that time was he would pray for people to be healed, and it was like instant healing. He had never experienced that kind of stuff before to that extent where there's so many people being healed. And then, of course, after 6 months, it lifted, but... I think you have to be careful. I have to be careful. I guess we all have to be careful about, you know, reading the John G. Lake experience and trying to impose, you know, say that's what I want. I want that experience, which I do, but no.
I think we all should desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want signs and wonders following you wherever you go. And if you go out there and you heal somebody, then you can disciple them. So you want to know who
right.
did that? You know, you say that was Jesus, and let me tell you how to keep your healing. And that's how you do it. And you start your little
Then their hearts are open because you've cut down all kinds of barriers in that process.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're listening. They've got their ears open.
Yeah, you can start your own UBM fellowship right there. Amen.
Bless God.
Okay.
All QRT here.
We can only pray. Go ahead, Andrew. You catch that? Malcolm.
That was nasty. Okay, all right.
I slipped that one in on you, didn't
Okay, bye.
I think that can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that what Pat wants, I think everybody wants more. You know, even when Malcolm was talking there, he wanted to discern as to why this person was not receiving this. He wanted something more from God there. He wanted to be able to discern why maybe this person is having trouble, and maybe he could help him if God would give him that amount of discernment to discern as to why this person didn't receive it right away. So I think what Pat wants is what everybody really wants, to be closer and have a closer walk with the Lord. And as for a feeling or emotion, you know, it is based on thought. You know, the last Bible study, I think he told us about the sin being threefold. But if your thoughts are not in sin, if they're not in false prophecy, if they're not in false teaching, then your thoughts tend to emotionalize. You know, I sometimes wonder when people do get a flush of emotion when they're praising God, as to these are the thoughts in their heads, you know, and that this could bring forth a good emotion about God and stuff. And it brings forth a good action to be led by the Lord in that manner of just being excited about what the Lord gives to you. Like while you're praising God, or even while you're praying, you know? And to make a wonderful supplication is just to talk to the Lord plainly as you would with your own father. I know for some of us, our fathers haven't been around for a long time, but this father, he's around all the time. He wants to hear your prayer. He's excited to hear from you every day. And you know, you go, well, what? I should have spent more time talking to the Almighty. And you wonder why you don't, you know, and it's just mind-boggling. So I just hope that encourages people. If you're going to pray, I want a piece of the prayer too for more too. So if you're going to pray for Pat about this, I think we all should pray for him.
Okay. Let me ask Angelica. She had her hand up a while ago. Is there something you wanted to say, Angelica? I forgot to get a hold of you a while ago.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to share quickly that the video that I shared really answers a lot of the questions I think that Pat just had in his mind. David puts it very, very in a very awesome way to understand, you know, how the Holy Spirit, you know, then, you know, how he experienced not knowing whether or not he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know, how he was tearing and all these different religious mindsets concerning it, and how, you know, we don't have to do that anymore because the Holy Spirit was already given at that time. It wasn't given, so that, you know, that's why they did tarry. And how it's the same as, you know, Mark 11:24, you know, believe you received and you shall have it. I did want to say, I have experienced that rivers of living water, and I do believe it was the power of the Holy Spirit, but I believe the main factor in that was that I was in my word day and night, day and night, day and night, and it just, I mean, when you feed your man like that, you know, by the grace of God, a fire of God to give you that hunger and thirst for righteousness, it wells up in you, and it's unstoppable, and it's the most wonderful thing of course, people are going to call you crazy because you're just, you're living, walking, and talking faith. I mean, your confessions are faith, your imaginations are, you know, are just faith. There's no doubt in your mind because, you know, the word is just taken over and the mind of the flesh has no room to speak. So in that way, you know, I think we can go to prayer and ask the Lord to give us that hunger and just, you know, press in to get in that word, to have that. And I think the other thing is to incorporate our imagination, and as well as, like many others said, you know, you step out in faith without feeling anything. It's just knowing that you have that authority because of who you represent here on this earth. You know, you don't have to feel a thing. And of course, it's wonderful when you do. But I think the Lord tries to work that out of us because we are, that's why we use our imagination, because we're very, you know, and he does the hands-on and the laying on the hands and different things because we're very, we're attached to our feelings. And, you know, we kind of gauge, you know, is the Lord with me, you know, with our feelings, you know, and I mean, I've done this, you know, for a long time now, and I'm in that place where I don't feel anything. And it's really, really hard because we want to kind of, you know, grab those emotions or that inner man feeling and all of those things. And when it's not there, the only thing you can stand on is the word. You know, Jesus is the word. He's the foundation. He's the rock. And when we learn to just walk by faith, just solely based on the word, then I think we're at a very, very, you know, in a very, very good place where we can, we're not easily tossed to and fro, you know, by our emotions and different things like that. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's exactly right, Angelica. The more words you get into you, the more you're going to learn how to walk like Jesus. Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Claire.
Hello, everyone. Pat, Rihanna and I actually spoke about this either last night or the night before. I can't remember, but he's just been texting me saying, you know, maybe you can share this with Pat and with the group, because he can't really talk while he's at work. So he's just a listener here today. Obviously I'm not teaching or anything. I'm just sharing something because it might help. But when we got baptized by somebody who had listened to UBM and was very, very free in Christ and had, you know, had a big level of maturity. Well, we thought so anyway at the time, being completely green. And when he baptized us, he probably mentioned, this is how stunted we were, he mentioned probably and had the faith, and I think everyone around there, Joe will agree, had the faith that we were being baptized in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. But we didn't understand that. We didn't catch on. I'm not saying that's what you did. I'm just saying that no language came. And then about probably a year later, we still had no language and we still didn't really understand. And we didn't really know who to call because we were so shy, and much had happened between that group in South Africa then, and we had a new baby and we weren't really mobile and things like that. So we phoned the one like spirit-filled Christian we knew, who was Rian's ex-roommate, who lived super far away. And he drove through once, I think Saturday night, and he put oil on our foreheads and he prayed for us, and he prayed the Holy Spirit over us and prayed for the baptism of the Spirit. And we had been listening so much to David that we were like, well, we just expect to now see Jesus in the mirror. We just expect these words to start tumbling out. But we didn't know how that was going to go. And then, like, literally the next morning I was brushing my teeth, and I remember Cornelius, when he was alive, said to us, you know, you're just going to look in the mirror and the words are just going to come. And I was like, yeah, sure, mate. What, you know, if that's what you say. And sure enough, there I was brushing my teeth, and this one singular word came out. And I had one word for, I'm not even lying to you, for probably 5.5 years, one word. Like, that's pretty tough going. And man, did I speak that word, that one word. I think my kids can even say that word. I think we can even spell that word. And I think why we were so slow in the uptake was, it wasn't because we weren't in the word or we probably weren't in the Word enough, but we were still in the Word and we were still listening to David so often and so much. But we had a spirit of intellectualism and we had a spirit of, we didn't actually doubt, but I think we were being attacked by doubt because we didn't know anybody else who did that, right? Like we didn't come from this great Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, like lineage, naturally. And so we had to start fighting that. So we had to, at the same time of having faith and building that tabernacle so that the Holy Spirit could dwell more and more and more and more, we had to fight off those things. And it reminds me of when Nehemiah goes back to build the temple. You know, he's got the sword in one hand and he's got the hammer in the other hand. And that's what we were doing. We were fighting off these attacks of being like, oh, this isn't required, or this isn't how it gets done, or you sound stupid, or whatever it is. And I'm sure you're so far beyond that, Pat, in your walk, but I just felt convicted to share this. You know, that the enemy would say things like that, like, oh, you're not really, this isn't really what it sounds like. You don't really have the gift. You don't really have an anointing for healing. If you put your hands on someone, it's not, you know, and just like listening to that bad report, but at the same time, flourishing in other aspects of the faith and actually seeing healings and seeing that stuff. So I say all of that to say that I think I would, if we can pray, I would, can I just pray one little prayer and we can continue discussing. But Father, I just bind all these intellectual, religious, limiting, hindering spirits to those who are seeking to be the tabernacle from which flows the living water. Father, I bind those spirits now and I cast them out of this group in the name of Jesus. We are not a people that shrink back. We are not a people that say, this isn't good enough, this isn't enough, this isn't the way. We are a people that say, yes, Lord, amen, and thank you for your perfect gift. Thank you for sending your son, and thank you for sending the paraclete, the comforter, the one who gives us the power to walk like Jesus. And Father, I just proclaim the spirit of faith and peace over this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that those who don't have a full language will get a full language immediately. And I pray that those who are wanting a fresh anointing get filled up, Lord, so full that they can't help but babble all the time in your beautiful language, Lord, not some doctrine of demons. And Father, I pray that you would put in us a love and a desire to be in your word when we're on the toilet, when we're cooking dinner, when we're drinking a cup of coffee, when we should be looking at the word instead of looking at the headlines. Father, thank you for giving us that conviction to know that there's only one way, and that way is Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I receive it. I think everybody in here receives it too. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. That's a good prayer, Claire. I believe it too. Woohoo. Yeah, that's what Judy said. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, my biggest thing, not that I think that we all need to pray for always more of the Holy Spirit. I think what we're looking for more than anything is being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, because you can go through the Psalms and you can see David was up and down. And there was one that I just read. It's like, wow, it didn't really sound very promising at all. Let me read what Psalm that was. And I close it out. But I think it was Psalm 81. You know, feelings are very unreliable at the most. So you don't want feelings to guide your spiritual walk. That I know. I mean, we do have to go through and feel things, like feel remorse for sin, or feel like something's not right, you know, and we're trying to figure out if there's something wrong, and they determine whether or not we're being attacked by Satan, you know, looking for that relationship thing all the time with the Lord and moving forward in our life and walking our promises and walking by faith. But the biggest thing I think we all need all the time is just to be led by the Spirit of God. and know you're being led by the Spirit of God. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's what we're trying to be. You know, so, you know, I was, you know, I know we all speak in tongues here. I know you do too, Pat. And we kind of partially touched that Saturday a little bit about, you know, a person can be able to speak in tongues, but have lost the Holy Spirit still, because the gifts are usually irrevocable. What I mean by, how would somebody lose the Holy Spirit? If they're walking in willful disobedience continually, they're never repenting and being led by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is going to leave that house. He will leave it. It'll be empty. But that person is going to still be guided by their blind lust. He still might speak in tongues. And there's pastors out there, I've listened to David talk, people that are fully in the flesh, but fully still speaking the gospel and, you know, proclaiming the Lord, but they're still walking in the flesh at the same time. So, you know, that can be very deceiving. You have people out there can be like that, you know. And we're not trying to be like that. We're trying to be led by the Lord and walk close to the Lord and, you know, take correction when we get it and look for more out of the Word. That's where we're at. So I think more than anything, I want to be led by the Spirit. I don't want to go by what I feel and what I see. I wanted to go by what He's telling me and listen to that and hear that voice. That's what I want. So I just wanted to say that, you know, as far as the clarity we're looking for me, that's what I like. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm. I want to address that a little bit. Go ahead, Malcolm.
That was an accident. I went to press, I'm off on a phone here, everybody. So I went to press *6 and I pressed *9. Sorry,
oh,
Michael.
Okay. Oh, that's
but
okay.
I can't pull it down. But I did want to say that I, I can't remember what I wanted to say. But
praise God.
I think it's important that we're not living by what we feel. But to stay in the Word. Anyway, that's all I can remember.
Well, there you go. You just hit on it right there. To be led by the Spirit, get in the Word to find out how Jesus walked. That's how you be led by the Spirit. You read and study the Word of God, just like we talked about earlier. Read and study the Word of God. That way you can be led by the Spirit of God. And also, let me tack on top of that, you speak in the Spirit continually. Pray in your heavenly language continually, and you'll be walking in the Spirit. You'll be talking. Listen. Well, I'll bring that up some other time. But right now, how many of you know that we've had people on here get filled with the Spirit, praying for them right here? And yeah, right here. I don't know how many we've had been filled with the Spirit from just the fellowship here. And the way you just believe it. Yeah, there you go. That's right, Michelle. We're not led by what we feel. We're led by what the Word of God says. What we have to get out of our mind. There's two reasons why Jesus said we don't get our prayers answered. Traditions of men, he said, that's why people don't get healed. Traditions of men and lack of faith, doubt and unbelief. Traditions of men and doubt and unbelief or lack of faith. That's the only two reasons he gave, nothing else. And so if that's the truth, then all we have to do is just go out and believe, because look, it's not us answering prayer, is it? It's not us healing anybody. It's not us doing the deliverance, but it God uses us because we believe that he's utilizing us as a conduit from him. He's sitting up here and he uses you as a conduit. And when you get that mindset that, well, I'm some great something or other, well, you need to get that out of your mind, because you couldn't heal a flea if you wanted to. It has to be God working through you. And that's all it is. It's just God. You just believe God. You trust God that he's going to back you up every time you lay your hands on somebody. Or whatever it is. It could be, you know, praying for somebody that's sick 40 miles away or 5,000 miles away. Makes no difference. We know that God's going to answer our prayer. When you know that for sure, every time, you get your prayers answered every time. It's not an anointing. It's a knowing and trusting more than anything. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got all the blessings of heaven available to you. Glory to God. And if you've got all the blessings of heaven available to you, what other power is there or authority? We are walking, talking men and women of God, doing the works of Jesus here on this earth for one reason: to set the captives free. That's what Jesus wanted us to do. He wanted us to set the captives free. Glory to God. And when you go out there and you find somebody that's in a wheelchair and you say, can I pray for you? And, oh, yeah, sure, you know, and they think you're going to say, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to walk, and I command this spirit of infirmity off of you. Come up out of that wheelchair right now in the name of Jesus. Body be whole. And you grab and say, come up out of there in the name of Jesus. And they'll come up out of it. If somebody's deaf, you just command that deaf spirit out of those ears. You know, all of that, y'all all know all that stuff. But I'm telling you, we have the same walking, talking spirit that Jesus had. Because he had his eyes on the Father. And if we've got our eyes on the Father, we've got our nose in the book that tells us how to walk like Jesus, you'll never fail. Listen, he told us we're going to have trials and tribulation. Some of us are going through trials and tribulation, but it's for a reason. To see if you're going to endure. And if you're going to endure, bless God, you'll see miracles like you've never seen before when you get through that trial. I guarantee you. God is so good. He, don't you think God loves us enough? He sent his son to die on the cross so that we would do what we're doing. And you don't think he would give you the Holy Spirit and everything that goes along with it? That's what he said. He will. He'll give you everything that you need to get the job done down here. And all we got to do is just trust the Lord and he'll do it. Okay, I'm going to step down, get me a drink of water. Anybody else got anything they want? All right, Lord, I just thank you for doing one thing. Giving us the wherewithal and the fortitude to get in the Word every time that we can. Not when we want to, but when we can. And Father, I thank you because when we do that, we will draw into that realm of maturity that we've never experienced before. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Hey, Isaac. Amen. That's right, Michelle. Feed on Jesus. You find out how Jesus walked on this earth, you'll never be the same again. You can't listen to what man tells you about Jesus. You got to go in there and find out for yourself. Some men have more than others, but how many of you know that the Word of God has it all? A lot of times we get hung up on what God can or can't do. I like what Lake said. He said the only hindrance to healing or deliverance is to think that there is a hindrance. Bless God. And that's the truth. Hey, Geneva, how you doing, girl? That baby's blessed, I'm telling you. Amen. All right. Who's got something they'd like to say? Because I got a little something I'd like to throw out there and let somebody else wants to talk a little. Okay, here's a question. All right, go ahead, Carol. We can finish this tonight, and I can get in on this next subject some other time.
It's short, but it goes right into this. I just want to say thank you again to God for all of this, because my little sister, again, who just received the Lord, she told me that God, well, she didn't use these words, so I'm going to use these words because it's our language, but God put on her heart. So here we are. The Holy Spirit's already teaching her to realize when she was drifting back away from him already. Like, she's a new baby in the Lord. And it's funny because the same night she was repenting of that, I was repenting of that. So I'm just thinking, Pat, that's kind of what maybe you're going through at the same time, is that it's him that tells us, he's reminding us, you're drifting. Come back to me. So my sister said, God, I'm really sorry. I hope I can stay connected to you. I realize that I'm already going back. Now I'm feeling better. I'm going back to what I was doing. I couldn't believe he gave her that on her heart, and me too, in the same night or two nights, because I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm getting these kind of convictions as well. So, but that, like, encamp around the truth that says, you know, God is sovereign and he is the one that is stirring that in our hearts. And what he desires for each one of us is so precious, so beautiful, so magnificent, so phenomenal, so beautiful, so lifting, so powerful, so transforming. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, thank you that it is you that burns inside of us, that is you that lights up the fire. Father, light the fire in Pat's heart. He is in a huge battle, and I understand the battle this man is in. He lives in a house, you know, in a marriage where there's the light and the darkness. Well, your light is greater than that darkness, and I pray the fire in this man, that the love of God just keeps pouring into him, and that stream of living water that comes out of him just goes right in there and fills his wife with his joy. Go get her, Jesus. And that he just needs to just sit still. Let your love come through him. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. He is so good. Thank you, called my sister. Thank you, you brought Andrew's son into this group tonight, into your kingdom. Thank you for all the future babies you're bringing. And thank you, you're resurrecting your existing children right now. You are injecting us with your love. COVID, goodbye. We are injected with the love, the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, I've said enough. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Go, Michael, go.
I can tell you this. How many of you have been in the Word of God, and you come across and you've read this scripture 9 million times, and you come across it and God just opens it up to you and you get excited? Glory to God, you said, I ain't never seen that before, but I believe it, Lord. How many of you ever done that? Did you ever get excited reading the Word of God? Yeah, there it is. There's your exuberance that you were looking for. It's the Word of God that gives it to you. Glory to God. How many of you have been praying in the Spirit for, let's say, an hour or two, and then the peace of God just comes all over you? And you, it's just amazing. When you get in the Spirit or you get in the Word, he loves on you. And you get those things, those little nuggets, you say, glory to God, I can do that now because I understand it. I get excited a lot of times by just reading the word. David will say something. I said, I ain't never heard that. And I'll go to the word and I'll find it. And there it is. Well, glory to God, he was telling it, not that I, don't y'all go telling David I called him a liar. Don't ever do that because I didn't call him a liar. I'm just checking him out. You understand? And I was just checking him out and I'd find it. And I said, oh my gracious, he's right. Man, that's awesome. And get excited about the word. That's how you do it. Discipline to get in the word. That's what it is. Discipline to pray in the spirit. Like somebody who was Oral Roberts University. I think I told this one time. Oral Roberts University, they had a medical scientist or something there, and they hooked up a person that was praying in tongues, and they found out that the immune system, if he prayed 30 minutes, he got 30% immunity rose up in his body. So if you pray an hour, you get 60% immunity worked up in your body. If you pray for an hour and a half, you get 90% of your immunity up in your body. So why not go ahead and do 2 hours and have enough slosh over on somebody else? Amen. That's what we need to be doing is thinking about these other people out here that are lost. How many of them are going to go to hell because we couldn't get to them? That's kind of the mindset that we need to have. Well, you know, just keep plugging in. It'll leave you. That dryness will leave you. I guarantee you it'll leave you. I know it's a lot of times that feeling of, man, I don't know if I want to do this today, read that word. But then you get the mindset, well, what if I miss something today, miss that manna that he's got ready for me today? And you get in there and you find that manna. Bingo, glory to God, looky here. That's what he wanted me to see today. I'm going to go test this on somebody. And that's what you do. That's how you do it. You get excited about the Lord because he's excited about us. I guarantee you he's excited about this group right here. He's already seen what we believe. He said, this bunch here, look at there. Look at Patrick. He telling Jesus, look at Patrick, watch it. This guy believes better than anybody else, and he talks so well, glory to God, and he's got a mind that flows with mine. And I praise God for him. You know, that's Jesus doing it. He's throwing love out on everybody. How much does he love us? Well, we can't gauge it. Yeah, at least that much, Jerry. He loves us so much. All right, Carol, go ahead. I saw you had your hand up.
My hand keeps popping in and out. Okay, so I just feel like the fire. And I feel like, you know, you're like, we're playing tennis, you and I, right now. I'm throwing the ball on your side, and then you're blowing it up with fire, and you're throwing it back. And you guys are all in the middle. We're like shooting fire on them. Thank you, Jesus, you know. So I just want to say, because I feel so fired up, just before coming to the group tonight, okay, so why we really must do the contrary of our bodies, okay, and our feelings. I was walking my dog and my eyes were closing. I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Okay, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Oh my God, I'm so exhausted. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And I was going, wow, I'm in a huge battle. I hope I can make it to the group. Anyway, so I make it to the group and I just settle like really quietly. And then all of a sudden I'm going, I could feel the Holy Spirit saying, do you see the difference? I'm like, yep. So that's it. That's where we do get fed the word, each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to shoot fire on each other. We need to shoot gentleness on each other. You know, like when Michelle, I think you were talking about when you feel dry. I know that place. And I know that God says, when you're dry, Carol, be gentle with yourself. You're so hard with yourself. soften. So I go into tongues, and sometimes tongues feel dry. So I find that when I sing in tongues, it softens that place inside of me to be able to let Jesus into that hard place, to that dry place, to that doubting place, to that fearful place. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for gathering us. Thank you for corralling us. Thank you for holding us close to you. Thank you. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Thank you. You put the fire in each of the people here. And what is spoken here is your wisdom, your life that comes through this group. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? I can tell you my experience with the Holy Spirit. I sought the Holy Spirit from every, I was like Pat. I sought the Holy Spirit. I think it was Pat that said it. I sought the Holy Spirit from every pastor that I could find. And I couldn't, I but it wasn't connected for whatever reason. And I did that for 6 months, I guess. And one day, I was out in my shop, and I was praying, and I was praying for the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get this Holy Spirit. I know it comes from you, but apparently these preachers can't help me, so I'm asking you to help me. Lord of God, man, I just went into talking in tongues. Felt like I was, just a rain was coming through my whole body. I mean, just a rush, shoo, down through there. And it felt like, I felt like that dog eating that biscuit floating up in the air, you know. But it was more than that. It felt like that I could just take off and go anywhere I wanted to in the spirit realm. Didn't, don't get me wrong, but it was the most magnificent feeling. And I sat out there for 4 hours praying in the spirit because I had a full-blown Chinese sounding language. Man, I tell you, it was awesome. But that was me. That was me. But it was a great experience for me. There's a lot of people that don't feel anything, that speak just as good, if not better, in the spirit than people who get a feeling. And it's not, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. It's not mean that I'm better than anybody else. I got the same Jesus y'all got. He just did that for me. And he'll do it for you. I've been people, I can't tell you how many people call me on the phone and get baptized in the spirit there on the phone. That's awesome. And get healed too over the phone. Delivered. Demons go to screaming out at him. Praise God. He does that for all of us too. Yeah, Gano.
I just thought I would share a little bit. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was like a really exciting time for me. I had really not had any experience with it all, had really not heard about it. And then we went to a meeting and someone prayed for me in their spiritual language. And I so wanted that. And the very next opportunity that I had, and this was one of the things they were doing, they were praying for people who wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had a good friend who said she would pray with me for that. And there were groups, you know, up in a whole bunch together at this meeting. And I didn't know what to do. It's like, well, what should I do? And she said, well, just praise the Lord. And so I was just praising the Lord in just, you know, my regular voice, my regular words. And I tell you, I was so shocked when it changed and it was a prayer language. And it was just, I think my heart was about to burst. I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to stop. we were at a meeting that we were probably 2.5 hours from home. That's about how long it took us to drive where we had gone. And I know I prayed all the way home. And after I got home, I was praying in the spirit. And there was a little, I call it a little demon. He was just pacing back and forth along the wall in the bedroom. He knew that my life was forever changed. And it was just really exciting. I would have to say now, you know, I don't get that feeling now when I pray in the spirit, but that night my heart was just filled to overflowing and bursting. And it was awesome. And I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's a good way of saying it. Your heart was just filled to overflowing. Amen.
Yep, it was. And I feel that a lot now, especially when I'm just, you know, wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. It just fills my heart just so full. It's just like it's just overflowing. And it's an awesome feeling. And yeah. Love the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask Pat, and there's a little bit of a pun here, but how are you feeling after all this discussion?
Is that a rhetorical question?
No. You can briefly answer it because I have more than I was going to say, if that's all right.
Well, I listened to Michael's experience and Gaynold's experience and their experience replicates, or is that a correct word? I'm not sure. The experience of those in Acts. Boom, come from within and experience that baptism coming without coming out of them. So that's what I hold. And so I just put that out.
All right. This is what I was going to say, because I don't think your personality and my personality are terribly dissimilar. But, you know, I don't think they're terribly dissimilar in a number of aspects. Yeah, okay, I'll use the word but. But, you know, when you were mentioning that, okay, thank you. Thank you, Claire. So you distracted me. But yeah, when you were talking before, there was a whole lot of feeling stuff going on, and my brain's gone. It's kind of a trite reply, I suppose, but what have feelings got to do with it? And Claire, when I did mention earlier, when you said you had this one word, and I put in the chat, you know, yeah, but how many different ways can you say that word? And that was serious, though it is funny, I get the joke, but because God, Pat, let him will and work his good pleasure in you. If I can just, you know, and you know, with that one word of Claire's, that's not the only one. You're not the only person I know who's had or having that experience. Let him, you know, he wills and works his good pleasure. So I would like to pray, if that's all right for you. And this is what I'm going to pray, and please hear it out. Lord, you are indeed faithful. And whatever is ungodly about Pat's, thoughts about having an experience or having a feeling, etc., then in your name and in will and work, your good pleasure, I would ask that be cast out from him, because your word is true. It's always true, and it never fails. It's never late, and it always accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. That said, Lord, because I know in the past that I've prayed for people, and things have been healed, or things have balanced up or whatever else. Lord, I know you love Pat. So I want to ask, one, that feeling thing would be chucked out. But two, Lord, because of your love for him, that you would also have him realize, whichever way you want, that you do indeed take pleasure in him, and that you will, Lord, give him, not as a priority, but feeling, that realization that you are right there with him in all this. Amen. That'll do. Lord, Jesus can intercede for that and do what he does.
Amen. I believe it, Pat. Amen. Y'all remember the story that Rex Rome told, didn't you? He had da 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 da. And he had it for a long time. And one day he asked the Lord. He said, Lord, I love this language you've given me. It's a great language. But could you give me something a little bit more? Could you give me a full language? And he said, the Lord did it for him.
Thank you, Jesus. I received.
He got it.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. For those of you who are new in here, I am not David. I won't never be David. But my name is Michael. And David and I live in the same house. I live up in the upper room. David lives on the first floor. So, but we have lived together for long time, 10 years. And we get along famously. I can't say that we've ever had a cross word to say about one another. He's scared of me and I'm scared of him. So that's good enough for me. But no, we do. We get along quite well together. More than I ever thought we would, but we do. We just make it a habit. As far as how often do I pray in the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit all the time. Even when I'm, doing chores and stuff, I pray in the Spirit. I've got a place out in the woods with a chair on it that I go out there and I try to pray for at least 2 hours in the Spirit. But it's been too cold, so I just wait good in the house. But anyway, that's basically what I do. And as far as David prays a lot in the Spirit as well, we both do. So it makes for a good companionship. And he asked me to pray for him, and I asked him to pray for me. And we don't have a problem with it. Yeah, Michelle.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I'm not feeling presentable enough to do the video thing tonight, but thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited I found this ministry. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Yeah. Great. I just had some questions about, because I do struggle sometimes with praying when it feels, which is a lot of times, unless I'm like in the midst of worship and, God's presence comes on me and I, begin to pray in a very energized, powerful way. And I'm like under his power, I call it, or like he's on me in a maybe manifest way. But like normally just to begin praying, I just feels like gosh, it doesn't feel anointed. It feels dry. And do I just keep going like that? And does it become more spirit-filled feeling, or am I getting, I know I can be feeling oriented. He's had to break me of that. So yeah, I don't know. Can you speak to the kind of pressing through? I know it would be powerful. I know you're praying, you know, by the Spirit, and so I want to do it more, but I just have trouble pressing through, I guess, the dryness. I'm just wondering what it's like for you, somebody who does that so much. Do you encounter that? I don't know.
Well, it's such a habit with me. I just do it all the time, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in here same way. Just walk around the house speaking in your language, you know. And but to do it to get a feeling is not what you want. You do it because God asks you to do it, and you want to be closer to Him. And walking in the Spirit is a way to do it. Just like I said a while ago, I'd like to be able to do just get up early enough in the morning to start the day out with nothing but praying in the Spirit and praising God, you know, and get the day started off right. That will get you in the Spirit. Whether you feel like it or not, it'll still put you in the Spirit. And it's a discipline thing a lot of times, but a lot of times God blesses you too. Anybody else want to address what she's asking?
Michael, it cut out when you said something about getting up early. Can you say that again one more time?
I'd rather not. I don't like to get up early.
What you said?
Yeah, I will. I said I'd like to get up early enough in the morning. I get up at anywhere from 4 o'clock to 4:30 every morning. But there's other things that I do. I'd like to get up and pray in the Spirit for at least 2 hours every morning before I start out doing anything. But like I said, it's just not possible sometimes. But what I do is just like I said a while ago, I just pray in the Spirit all the time. When I'm walking around the house, or when I'm even in here studying, I'll pray in the Spirit too. Pray in the Spirit all the time. Just make it a habit. And when you make it a habit, you'll have it. What's that old saying they say? When you do something for 21 days, you have made a habit. Y'all ever heard that? Or break a habit that way. I guess I'm the only one that ever heard that, I guess.
I have.
I've heard that, Michael.
Okay.
I have too. I've heard it too.
Oh, praise God. I get somebody to back me up here. Jesus. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. This has been a good night. Thank you, Pat. That's another time you come up with a good question. You just
thank you all.
Amen. Yeah, I heard that, Ice. Yeah, I think I heard Winnie talking about that. I can tell you this, one time I was in, we had another place that we were having church at, and this lady heard me speaking in tongues, and she knew some Arabic. She said, "You were speaking in Arabic." I said, okay, what did I say? Oh, no, but I know you were speaking in Arabic. Hey, listen, there's something else that you can do while speaking in the Spirit. You can ask the Lord to interpret your spirit language for you, and He'll do it. Just ask Him. He'll do it. Ask Him for a word for somebody. He'll do it. The gifts of the Spirit are available to everybody. All of them are. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, so we walk in it. There's going to come a time, I think real soon, that the gifts of the Spirit are only for the immature, because the mature are already going to be walking in it. I'm just saying. I'll give you something to think about. I think, yeah, Marilyn.
I was just going to say, in response to praying, you know, one thing that has helped me a lot is the verse that says we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and we enter his courts with praise. And that just really helps me a lot to come in thanking the Lord. You know, you think about it, you know, the Holy Spirit will start leading you. You know, he'll start giving you a revelation that, wow, you're getting to come before the Father's throne. And what a blessing and what a privilege and what an honor that is. And just thanking him and telling him that you love him and praising him, you know, just the Holy Spirit will really lead you. He'll start bringing things to your remembrance, you know, times that he's blessed you, times he's preserved you. Just he'll begin to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. And, you know, when we spend time in prayer, whether it be with understanding or praying in tongues, you know, it will really strengthen you in the inner man. And you know, I think about being strengthened in the inner man so that we can walk worthy of the vocation under which we've been called, and we can press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and so that we can hold fast the confession of our faith, that it waver not, because he's faithful that promised. You know, I pray in tongues, but I also pray the word a lot. And anyway, hopefully that might help you a little bit. Is just, you know, when you start out your prayer time, just, you know, thanking him, telling him how much you love him, and praising him, and the Holy Spirit will start really leading your prayers, I believe.
Amen. Okay, I've had a question about what I was talking about the gifts of the Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe that people are going to get so into the Spirit that those gifts will be an everyday occurrence. It won't be, it'll be there for you when you need them, not when the Holy Spirit deems it necessary. You're already going to know when it's necessary, and you'll be in the Spirit so much. Now, this is just me. Now, I believe this is what's going to happen. That the Spirit of God is in you, and he's going to automatically allow you to walk in those gifts when you need them, without him having to dole them out, because you don't know whether you need it or not. I think he's going to do it. How many of you ever heard of William Branham? He walked in one gift, two gifts. He walked in the gifts of word of knowledge, by the best of anybody I've ever even heard of. I never heard anybody do it like he did. He walked in the word of knowledge every day. And he also had the gift of healing and faith. He walked in the miracle gifts as well. It was just a common thing for him. It was a common thing for him. There's other people out there now that are walking in the gifts. It's just an everyday occurrence. It's not that they have to wait on the Lord to give it to them. I know I've had to wait on it before. I don't intend to wait on it anymore. I know that God's going to back me up whenever I pray for somebody. And that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be assured that God is waiting on us. He, you know, we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us to walk in that mature realm that he wants us in. And that's like David was talking about, the Spirit of God. He wants us to walk in the Spirit at all times. And when you walk in the Spirit, those gifts will be right there. Yeah, Pat.
So, Michael, when you're saying that, it reminds me of just the type of children of Israel coming across the Red Sea and being baptized in the Spirit and baptized in the water, and immediately led into, led into the wilderness. But 40 years later, after that old man was dead, God replicated that, or duplicated that. Might have somebody might need to educate me, in that they moved into the promised land, and the process was the same. Baptized, you know, there was that same baptism kind of thing as they went into the promised land. And I'm wondering if that is the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the anointing or something like that. It's kind of, you know, where I'm thinking anyway.
Yeah. Well, think of it this way. They went 400 years without anybody getting sick. They all walked in. They knew, they believed God, because God told them, you do what I tell you, this is what's going to happen. They all had the same Nike sneakers they had when they walked into the wilderness the day they died. You know what I'm saying? Their clothes was even like new when they, you know, during all the time that they were alive. There was no lack, nothing. The only time there was lack is when they quit believing God. I believe we're coming into that time. And we got something greater than they had. We've got Jesus. Jesus. Praise God. Yeah, Lord, I just lift up Isaac to you, that world famous teacher of God's word. And we praise you, Father, that Thursday is going to be an awesome time. And we thank you for it, Father. I don't want to put any pressure on him, but I know it's going to be an awesome, awesome time in the Lord with him. There's going to be people healed, delivered, set free. People going to be raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Limbs going to be growing out. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I believe it. So is he. We're going to see an awesome time with the Lord when Isaac comes in Thursday night. And Lord, we have, is Justin in here? He goes next Thursday. Yeah, get here early. Get you a good seat. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Praise God. All right. Well, I think we're out of time. Just about it. Well, Father, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Malcolm, is this going to be short?
I forgot. I didn't want to interrupt the exciting discussion. It was a prayer request. I just wanted to pray pray for Beverly and the whole family, her whole family. She's the mother of everybody, and she's migrated to the hospital this week or earlier. So what's happening is the family is flying out of India and some other places. But I'm not accepting that. Of course, I'm not part of the family, so I'm just trying to encourage them to have faith and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to Lord, I just thank you for Beverly and for filling her with faith and helping them with all the different diverging opinions about what kind of treatment and all that kind of stuff. And Lord, I just pray that her heart work, her lungs work, her pacemaker is no longer needed, to let you know, my wife is coming home. The dog goes crazy. So anyway, Lord, I thank you for that, for getting that whole family into your walking in the spirit also. And I cast down all the religious spirits and all the prejudices and whatnot. And I just thank you for the peace that passes understanding for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Malcolm. We believe everything he prayed is coming to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. It is so great to see all the new faces tonight. Michelle, see you. It's good to see you again, Marissa. And let's see, who else is in here? I guess that's everybody. Oh, Keith. Keith, good to see you with us, brother. Glory to God. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?